You don't have to finish it, but it's going to be really cool one day. Stan and I do about the same thing. So you get that thing started, you know. There used to be a cartoon that had a drill motor stuck in the side of the wall of the shower. And it was just hanging there where he'd walk off and finish, you know, didn't get it finished up. But do some things around the house or get some things work-related around there. Maybe it's to get rid of some bad habits. You know, maybe it's smoking or snuff or drinking or maybe it's language. You know, maybe it's to say, you know what, I'm going to curtail some of that or my dad's a full-blown alcoholic. He came to my house yesterday and said, I need you to take me to the little store. Going on the way, he said, you know, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it again. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, he sees there's an issue, there's a problem there. He said, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try and make it. And I'm going to try my darndest to help him make it, you know. It hurts me terribly to see my dad do that, but I'm glad that he at least acknowledges it and we don't have to argue and fight about it anymore. But maybe it's to change some of the aspects of your life, which would get into the spiritual things in a minute, but even basing upon our testimony. Or maybe it's to learn something new this year. A lot of times we think about, you know, learning something new, something that we've always wanted to do or maybe a musical instrument or do something that we haven't done. And we sit down and we think about all these things and we go, you know what? Here's the starting point. I'm going to attempt to do this. And we all need that starting point. We need that place in our lives. After we pray, we'll talk about some of the spiritual things in our lives. Lord, thank you again for, Lord, these who've come to hear your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, this year we'd purpose in our hearts to be here. Lord, to be attentive to your house and to your word. Lord, that we would grow spiritually. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd allow me to be a better teacher. Lord, that, Lord, we'd be able to utilize some of the things that we haven't in the past. Lord, to teach and to show, Lord, your word. And Father, I pray that you just, impress upon our hearts, Lord, that we want a purpose in our lives, that we do what we want to do, and that's to please you. Lord, I do pray for, Lord, all these prayer requests that's mentioned, Lord, these with seemingly no hope. Lord, that our hope is in you. Lord, we've shown our faith by expressing, Lord, that we want our friends and family to pray for our loved ones. Lord, these who are leaving the country, these who are out in the military, Lord, again, that we don't see the picture you do. Lord, allow us to succumb to your will. Father, again, be with us as we go through this year. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Some spiritual things. You know, we can see the physical things. That's something that we deal with all the time. You know, tomorrow morning or at least Tuesday morning or maybe a week from now, it's back to the grind. And the holidays are over. Here we go. You know, back to the monotony, the things that bring you down spiritually. You know, the things that you put aside your spiritual thoughts and you go, well, I got to deal with these people or I got to deal with this. And we sometimes leave God out of the equation. I know my big downfall is lack of prayer. Man, I can't impose upon you enough that we have the attention and the ear of the Creator of the universe. That's something that we don't think about it. Or we casually toss up a prayer just to see how high it'll go, right? You know, don't stand under it. It's probably going to come back down. We don't deal with prayer like we should. And I've just said to myself, prayer's going to be a different issue for me this year. One of the things, number one thing probably spiritual is what? Read your Bible, right? Read your Bible. Everyone should read the Bible all the way through. You just should. It's God's inspired Word. When everything else is gone, when this planet is no more and the universe is no more, the Word of God's still going to be here. When we're raptured out, and all hell breaks loose, Word of God's still going to be here. Man, it's something that we should do, and we should do it daily. You know, Brother Stone mentioned the other night, reading the Word of God will keep you out of sin, and sin will keep you out of reading the Word of God. So you got to get the jump on it. You know, you wake up and you get into the Word of God, and then you start through your day. And it changes your day. It literally changes the way that you attempt the day. But to read your Bible on a daily basis, and you know, you don't have to read the book of John Monday morning. You can read a verse. You can just read a scripture. We get these little daily devotion deals. You know, the little book back there, it's got 3 months in it. And those are perfect. Set it in there in your reading room. You know what I'm talking about. Just set it right there in the reading room. And take a minute and read that passage. You don't have to read the commentary. You just read the Word of God. You read that verse that it is there. The commentaries are usually great. Now, anytime you see HMM, Henry Morris, well, then he's pretty on. But do your daily reading. Read some part of Scripture every day. And again, 21 days makes a habit. If you can read your Bible every day for 21 days, you'll be in that habit and you'll begin to read your Bible every day. And again, you do what you want to do. You can set time out to do that, or you can watch another stupid sitcom. You can watch another thing that Hollywood put out to mimic and make fun of God. You could do that, or you could go, you know what, I'm gonna take my time and do it different this year. You understand that we don't make time. Y'all know that. That's a saying that has been through the ages. We cannot make time. All we can do is manage the time we have. So we have to manage our time. It's still the same allotted time, but we gotta use it differently. And we can. We can do some of those kind of things, you know. Get the Bible on CD or whatever and put it in your vehicle. Play it instead, you know? I got to where I was running back and forth East Texas. I got Dr. Henderson's CDs on Revelation and I just listened to them back and forth. It's pretty good, you know? Second thing would probably be to attend church. You know, here in a minute, we're going to read some Scripture and you'll already have two of them done today. Day one, we're already in order. We've got one in a row. We've already got it done. You've already done the hard stuff as you've already made it here to church. You know, it'll change how you live if you attend church more. And I don't mean Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. I mean Sunday. Come back and get you a little bit more Sunday night and then come back and get you some on Wednesday. The way the church system is set up is here in just a little bit, Brother Crawford's going to get up here. He's going to welcome everybody. We're going to shake hands with those latecomers. They're going to do some music. They're going to sing. They're going to do some things. And he's going to have about a 20-minute window to reach the lost. That's the Sunday morning message, in a nutshell, is salvation. Because it's those people who come in off the street that doesn't understand Sunday school that said, you know, hey, I just made it in here. Those are the ones that our friends, that we say, hey, come to church. I can't explain it to you, but come listen to the preacher. So he's got about a 20-minute window now. He's going to take 45, but he's lost them. He's got about a 20-minute window. Then we're going to have an invitation. And people are going to begin, we're going to all stand up. They're going to start singing. And this one will go to peeling out, and that one will go to peeling out, and they're headed to the back. And there's some white-knuckled guy sitting back there, hanging on for dear life. And he says, man, I can make it just a few minutes. Oh, look, people are leaving. Yeah, we're getting close. Man, Christians are to be praying like there's no tomorrow. Amen. And we are to be standing in our pews praying, God, give them courage, give them strength, give them the ability to step out of that aisle and walk down there. Amen. Because when they step out of that aisle, they just got saved. It's not when they make it to here. It's that act of, hey, I want to come and give give my life to Jesus. Let Jesus be my sacrifice.
Amen.
When we were in the old school building over around there on the loop, when we would do children's church, there were big windows. You could set your clock by one individual that came out. Oh, they're having an invitation. Here they come. Because they cut out early. I don't know if they was going for chicken or what, but they cut out early. You could set your watch by it. And I thought, how devastating is that for the pastor to stand up here and pour his heart out and try and reach those who are lost? Because they may go out into eternity when they leave here. That may be it. That may be the last chance they have. Man, we should be praying earnestly.
Amen.
Could we not hang on another 2 minutes? I know some people have issues. I'm not talking about them. But I'm talking about people that can hang on and say, you know what? It's more important for that right now than what I got going on. My little old baby will be all right. You know, we'll get chicken. The Methodists won't get it all. We'll be all right. We could hang on just a little longer. But to attend more types of church, because again, Sunday morning is basically a salvation message. You come back Sunday night, and that gets us a little meat and gravy, right? That's more of a teaching message. Wednesday night is solely a teaching message. That's what it is. Now, if you really, really want to cut down to it, then come to Sunday school. Because we're going to really get down into the Word of God. I mean, and again, it's because of the time and the way that the system is set up. See, we taught this last year that we're to go out and we're to witness and we're to win them to the Lord and then bring them into the church. But we've gotten off of that and we've said, well, I don't know how to explain it, but if you'll come in, somebody up here will tell you. Okay, that's fine. Let's get them one that way. But the way it's set up is Sunday morning is a salvation message. There's some teaching to it, but it's a salvation message.
Amen.
Thank God. Then thirdly would be to attend Sunday school. I was going to mention this a little earlier. This is basically my church. And what I say by that, I don't mean that. This group here is my responsibility, my part of my church, okay? That room in there is Dr. Henderson's. Doyce has got that one up there. They've got theirs over here. Everybody is their overseer of their group. We have about, 56 in here? 56 we started with today? We have 56 in here. I can't visit everybody that's sick. If you're out and I didn't call you, a lot of times I didn't come to the hospital to see you during your surgery because you didn't tell anybody. No, y'all wouldn't do that. Nobody came to see me in the hospital. Well, who'd you tell? Well, we didn't tell anybody. Okay. If you get offended because I didn't call you or didn't see you, it's because I either didn't know about it. I make some hospital visits and I go to houses and I do stuff, but I can't do it by myself. I want y'all to understand, I think this class is phenomenal. Not based on what I say, but based on what we learn in here.
Amen.
Y'all don't learn half of what I get to, because I can't get it out. I've determined myself, I'm going to be a better teacher this year. I haven't been as good as what I want to be as a better teacher. And I hope y'all take that right. I don't mean nothing toward me, but I'm telling you, I think this class is super as far as what we get into the Word of God. And I don't mean any direction on me. As I tell Kurt a lot of times, I come in here, I got nothing. I got nothing. And that's when it's usually, wow. Because I pray, God, you teach this message. You teach it. Give me the words to say. Show me where to go to and read it in here. And it's usually phenomenal. Always.
Amen.
I told Kurt, I said, I'm going to quit studying. But I can't visit everybody. Now, we have what we call care group leaders. Because there's too many people for just one person to do. And I'll explain it again this way. I can't go to Scott and say, Scott, come to Sunday school. It's amazing. Our teacher is fantastic. You can do that. But I can't do that. It's hard enough to stand up here and say it. And again, I don't mean any direction toward me. It's what God leads me to show you guys. Anybody could do this. It's just what God leads to show you. But y'all have to grow this class. You have to tell your neighbor, hey, come up here. You know, if you really want to learn something, you got questions or whatever, come up here to Sunday school. That's where we're going to learn stuff. Well, I'm already saved. Okay, then you need to be in Sunday school.
Amen.
So church message is going to be, well, you know, I tried that church deal. I told y'all 2 or 3 weeks ago, I feel like the word church has got a bad connotation now. So much so that churches are taking the name church off of it. Now we have the fellowship and we have the community and we have all these better sounding words. Gosh, Sunday school is a bad word now. It's so old fashioned. We have small groups now. Right? I grew up in Sunday school.
Amen.
I love Sunday school.
Amen.
And that's the fun time. You know? When I had smaller classes, we had question and answers. We couldn't do that now. No way. But to attend Sunday school and then begin to attend, visitation. I know at one time several people in here used to come to visitation. Something happened. Got out of the habit and got into a different habit. But I can tell you that some of y'all that are in here now are in here now because I came to your house every Tuesday. And I came back the next Tuesday, and I came back the next Tuesday. The Huffs are a good example, but they're not here today. I went to their house every Tuesday. I'd go out and visit somebody, and I'd end up back at their house every Tuesday. Until they got acclimated enough to get in and get friends around here, and I could put them with them and go after somebody else. In the past years, we've said, okay, we're going to get care group leaders. And I've asked several of you guys to be care group leaders. Some of you have been good care group leaders. Some of you we found that just don't care. So you can't be a care group leader if you don't. I'm being facetious. But what I'm asking right now, and this isn't part of the lesson, if you want to be a care group leader and you want to help grow this Sunday school class, come to me. I'm not going to come to y'all anymore and say, hey, because I think that puts you on the spot. You can't say no. But how committed are you? If you want to be a care group leader, you come to me and say, hey, I want to, let's grow this class. About 4 years ago, I took over this age group of class. We were running 12. We got it up to 107.
Amen.
107. And then we split it. And now we can't keep the little group we got. I guess they got all the good people. Now, if you want to be a care group leader, you come to me. And say, what is a care group leader? What do we do as a care group leader? I wanna do it right because it's gonna take more than just me. Brother Crawford doesn't grow this church on his own. It's the other guys and gals that go out and compel people to come in. So if you want to be a care group leader, come and talk to me and we'll sit down and show, you know, what all it entails and stuff. And it means you gotta go to visitation. What it means. But I'll tell you how important visitation is. You'll go to visitation, you'll show up down here, you haven't eaten dinner, you've fought through the traffic, you get a couple of little old deals and you go to somebody's house and they ain't home. And you leave there and you go to the next house and you knock on the door and they ain't home. And you do that every week and you go, man, this is just stupid. And then 1 week somebody's home. And somebody's lost and you lead them to the Lord. And you can't quit. You can't quit. Kevin, remember when you and I used to go out? Man, I'm telling you what, it was really neat. If anything, just our fellowship. You know, we go around and visit. Wasn't nobody home, leave a note on the door, there we go. You know, me and Jerry, every week, we were partners, every week. You know, either I fell out, he fell out, so we hadn't been. But somebody has to have the compassion to go out and say, hey, first of all, are you saved? You know, that's the number one question before I leave the house. Hey, boy, you got Bibles laying around everywhere, you got crosses on all the walls. Let me just make sure, are you saved?
Amen.
You You know, you can have all that facade and still not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But, you know, and a lot of times we don't have the talk. We just might have the walk. Well, we just stick you with somebody that's got the talk. I love to talk to people, man. I enjoy visiting about scriptural things and just getting into the Word of God and talking about it. But we need to be able to visit. And then number five for spiritual things of a new year is to be a witness. To lead someone to the Lord. In my Bible, I have a blank page over here at the first. This is going to work out really good. I had it. I didn't turn back far enough. Anybody know what happened on 3/13/11? Bradshaws, do y'all have any idea? I led Landon to the Lord. His name's written in my Bible right here. Amen?
Amen.
You know what? His parents are in church today. Isn't that neat? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Amen.
I challenge you to lead one person to the Lord this year. Get 364 more days if you don't count today. Lead one person to the Lord. Landon's liable to grow up and be another J. Frank Norris. Could be.
Amen.
Could be. Look, when I was a little kid in Sunday school, they didn't walk through there and go, hey, guess what? He's going to be teaching Sunday school for the next 25 years. They didn't say that about me. They said, there's a future inmate right there. Yeah. Yeah, he's destined for the penal system. But you don't know. But lead one person to the Lord. I challenged y'all last year. I got a text message from Bill Graham. It just said, one down, one to go. And I texted him back and I said, what? And he said, you challenged us to lead someone to the Lord. I led somebody to the Lord and I'm going after another one. I said, amen. That's fantastic. He took me literally and said, I led somebody to the Lord. There's no better feeling on earth than when you're able to show somebody the love of God. And that's secured forever. Forever. But to be a witness is probably the pinnacle of what you would want to do for this coming year. Look in Mark chapter number 1. Verse 40. I taught this earlier this year. I love this passage of Scripture. God just laid it upon my heart that at the time we were teaching it. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Hansen's disease is what's known as leprosy. Still a little bit around today, but they have cures for it. The people who have it just haven't been able to get to the medication and get cured. At this day and age, it was incurable and deadly. You were going to die a horrific, agonizing death of infection, to no degree. A leper was a cast out. He was literally a walking dead man. He was cast out of the city, couldn't come around. When he approached anyone who was clean, he had to begin to holler out, leper, 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 so that people would avoid him. He was already dead. He was done. There was no hope in his life. All he knew was it was going to continue to get worse, and one day, he'd be gone. There's still a few leper colonies in the world, again, as I said, just without getting the medication to them, but it's a curable disease now. But look at verse 41, it says, and Jesus, moved with compassion. Here's someone who had no hope. They were dead. No one acknowledged them. They didn't care if they ate. They sure couldn't get a job. All they could do is go around and rummage through the garbage. no one was going to give them money to beg. They wasn't going to get around them. Jesus had compassion on them. God, give us that compassion.
Amen.
You realize that people who walk around today that are lost are already dead in their sins. They're already dead. There's no hope for them. They say, well, you know, this world's rough, but when we die, when they die, it gets worse. There's no hope for them. They're walking around dead. Do we have compassion on them? Jesus had compassion on them. And look what He did. He did the unthinkable. It was done by contact, this disease. Jesus not only had compassion, but He put forth His hand and He touched him. Wow. That He could be putting Himself to death. He was Creator of the universe. He was fine. But He reached out and touched this man. This man who hadn't been touched by a human in no telling how long since he had contacted the disease. Every now and then, don't we just need a hug? My wife just shows up sometimes and says, I just need a hug. I do that very seldom, but I hug her when she asks. I don't mean that. But I don't. No, go get one for somebody else. Sometimes we just need a hug. We need to feel that human compassion. This man walked around dead. Never did anyone ever reach out and want to touch him. They avoided him. He was walking around dead. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I will. I'll do what you ask. Be thou clean. And instantly he was healed. Instantly.
Amen.
Instantly he was healed. He was taken from death into life. Brand new. He was made alive. How life-changing is that? From no hope whatsoever. When some of y'all came in here this morning, you had a burden on your heart for someone that you love. And you came in and you said, you know what? This is a major burden. But inside here, there's hope. I can raise my hand and say, through faith, I want to pray to God that that person be made alive.
Amen.
That's faith. That man was made alive. Verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Now look what the man did. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. We praise this guy to no end. Man, he was so thankful. Remember the other lepers that Jesus healed? And only one of them turned around and thanked him? Boy, here's a guy that shouted from the rooftops, hey, this man just healed me, man. And we praise this guy to no end because he was thankful. But imagine what would have happened to him if he had done what Jesus told him to do. What did Jesus tell him to do? See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto who? Who is them? The one he just talked about. Show yourself to the priest. Show yourself to those hypocrites who are looking for me to come, but aren't. He says, you go show them that I healed you from leprosy. That'll be a testimony to them. Look real quickly, if you will, Leviticus chapter 14. Over at the front of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 14. There's 116 verses in chapters 13 and 14 that deal with leprosy. All of it deals with all the way up to leprosy in the house and how you cleanse the house. But Leviticus chapter 14, And you get the connotation here, the Lord gives to Moses what they're supposed to be doing if they're cured of leprosy. We only have three accounts in the whole Old Testament of people being cured miraculously from leprosy. One of them wasn't even a Jew, so he didn't have to go to the priest and show. One was Moses, which God showed him immediately what was happening, and Nahum. But if someone was healed of leprosy, they would go to the priest, and the priest was to perform this ceremony on him. Verse 4 says, "Then the priest shall command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and a cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthly vessel over running water." So he takes one of the birds and he kills it under running water for purity. This bird is killed, it's set aside. There's another bird here that's alive. He takes the bird that's dead and he ties him to a cedar tree or a cedar branch with a scarlet ribbon. He takes that hyssop and he cleans stuff with. The book of Psalms tells us that David said, "Lord, cleanse me with hyssop." He said, "I'm as filthy as a leper." Because that's what they used to clean the lepers with. But he would take that cedar branch with that dead bird on it. That dead bird would be tied with a scarlet ribbon. And he would take that bird and he would sprinkle the live bird. He would sprinkle the blood on it. And then he would set that live bird free, signifying Jesus' death and His resurrection, tied to a cedar tree. Man, what a picture of Christ and His death for our sins and His resurrection. Then he says, in verse 8, he says, "And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all of his hair." Now, when I'm talking about shaving off all of his hair, I'm not talking about doing like J.R. has. I'm not talking about that. He said shave off all of his hair. Look what he says. In detail in verse 9 he says, "All of the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows." Man, he's going to be just slick as a baby. Hey, there's another picture. How about somebody being born again?
Amen.
Man, isn't that fantastic? Here's this guy that's a grown man, but he kind of looks like a babe. He's got no hair. He's starting all over. Now, it was a cleansing thing, but it was also a picture. And it was on the eighth day that he would take two lambs and sacrifice them for him. That eighth day, you know what today is? Today's the first day of the week, but it's also the eighth day. See, yesterday was the seventh day, on the eighth day. So the eighth day represents starting over, right? It's not only the eighth day, it's the first day of the week. If you're just counting in increments of seven, it's the first day. But on the eighth day, it'll be the first day again. Verse 14 says, "And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering. The priest shall put it upon the tip of his right ear of him that is cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." Now, a little Bible lesson here is, when a priest would be ordained, they would take the oil, and they would put it on his right ear lobe, they would put it on his right thumb, and on his right big toe. It was to ordain him to be a minister. And what a picture. Take the offering blood, put it on his right ear that we're to hear the Word of God. Put it on his right thumb that we're to put our hand to everything to the Word of God. And put it on his right toe that we're to walk in the light of His Word.
Amen.
He became His own priest. Is that just fantastic? He was born again. He could go to God Himself, didn't need a priest, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Go to Him for a testimony." Last year we did the Biggest Loser deal in January, and I got in the contest. Now the problem was they made it a contest. And I don't care if we're shooting marbles or what, I'm going to win. I've just got that heart. You know, I'm not as competitive now maybe as I used to be. But when I was a professional rodeo cowboy, I was there to win. I was going to win first, or they were going to throw me out of the arena. That was just the way I did it. I didn't win very many seconds, didn't win very many thirds. I won more first than anything I ever did because I was going for it all. I want to win. When we got in the Biggest Loser contest, I said, nobody's going to work harder at it than me. So I ate bark and little bitty morsels that my daughter made me eat and made me mad. I can't live on that. Dad, that's what you got to do. And they said, we want you to run. I said, I'm a crippled old bull rider. I do good going from the couch to the refrigerator. And we started out. My son ran with me. I would run for 1 minute. That's not very long. Try it. 1 minute. Then I could walk for a minute and a half. Those minutes and a half went a lot faster than the 1 minute. And then I would run for another minute, and then walk for a minute and a half, and then run for another minute, and then walk for a minute. And it killed me. But I had to get started. By March, I was running 6 miles a day. Every day of the week, 6 miles, nonstop. I run for an hour and 15 minutes. But I didn't do that the first day. I had to start 1 foot at a time. We got a new year to purpose to be in church. Hey, you've already made it 1 week. You've already got by that. We've already read the Word of God today. Man, we're on a roll. We've already got a habit started. Hey, if it doesn't work tomorrow, you got a new month to start it again. If it doesn't work then, we got a new week. Start again on Monday. If it doesn't work then, start that next day. If it doesn't work that day, start the next hour. But take that first step. Just start all over. God, forgive me for what I just did, and turn around and do what God said. He casts your sins behind you and start again on a brand new journey. And then start stacking them together. And before long, you'll go, wow, I've got a new me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the time that we could spend in your Word. Father, I pray that again, we just purpose in our hearts, Lord, that you give us the zeal to continue. Lord, as we start this new year, that we'll do everything we can to spend every day to your glory, Lord, and not our own. Father, we pray that the things that we say and do will bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless the service to follow in Christ's name.